Join the Pop Life Podcast conversation. Follow us on Twitter at the Pop Life Podcast. Find us on iTunes at the Pop Life Podcast. Be sure to rate us, please, and find us on SoundCloud and share and like and subscribe. Thanks.
Welcome to the Pop Life Podcast, coming to you from the Crosby Collective Studio, starring your hosts, Jeffrey Sledge, Naima Cochran, and Sean Young. If it's top of mind in pop culture, it's up for discussion. Thank you for joining us this week. The Pop Life begins in 3, 2, 1.
I Pop Life Podcast. Today is, I don't know, I just did some different shit today. today is
the 14th. I'm skipping over.
Okay, yeah, I couldn't even. I wasn't nowhere near. I was gonna say like the 11th or some shit. I was
yesterday.
Oh yeah. Go ahead.
Yesterday was the Founders Day of my illustrious organization, Delta Sigma Theta Sorority Incorporated, celebrating 107 years of sisterhood scholarship and service.
All right.
And tomorrow is the Founders Day for AKs.
So I want to ask a couple quick questions.
Sure.
Why are all the, seems like most of the Founders Days all around the same time?
It's based on when the organizations were incorporated. And my guess is that it has something to do with it being near the beginning of the year and the beginning.
So
that's my guess. Because it's not about necessarily when
it started. It's when it was incorporated.
It's about when it was incorporated.
Okay. That makes a lot of sense to me now.
Right. So that's my, but it's not all, Omegas are in November, Sigma Gamma Rose are in November too, I think. And Alphas are like some whole other, are Alphas in January? Somebody else is on the later side of the calendar year. I can't remember who.
Okay. Well, yeah. I definitely saw the Kappas, y'all, you said the AKs are tomorrow. I saw the Sigmas.
Yeah. And then the Zetas. The beta, the sigmas and the zetas. The sigmas were just last week.
Yeah.
Zetas are coming next week.
Okay.
I think like the 18th or something like that.
Okay.
So
let me ask you another question. So
yeah.
Are there any, and I've assumed maybe not, but I don't know, but are there any originally founding members of Delta still alive?
No.
Was it too long?
No, they've passed.
They've all passed away, right?
Yeah, our last founding member, it's been some time because, you know, we're over 100 years old.
Yeah, I figured that, you know.
Just, yeah, it's, I want to say lived, when did she die? I don't think she made it to our centennial.
Okay.
So yeah, because if there was a founding member left right now, they would be like 125 or something like that, you know. There's no founders left. I think the only organization that has founding members still alive is the Aldas, because they got founded in the 70s.
Because they're so young, yeah.
Yeah.
And one last question. Are there more members of Delta than AKA?
I believe so.
But it just seems like, I mean, I see a lot, when AKA has their founding day, I see, obviously, you know, every organization, every one of the nine, but, you know, obviously, especially like kind of like the, no disrespect, but like the bigger of the nine, you know, the Kappas, the or Qs. Like, obviously, there's a lot of people, but it feels like there's more Qs on the male side than anybody else and more Deltas on the woman's side than anybody else. But I'm just going by what I see. I don't know the actual numbers.
I do think we have a larger membership than Alpha Kappa Alpha. Some people might see that as a positive. Some people might see it as a negative. We are an organization that actively chartered chapters internationally. Like, that was an
interesting.
I believe the Bruhs did that. Omegas did that as well.
So you have like a lot of Asians and Latino.
We have a lot of Caribbean chapters.
Oh wow!
We have, you know, when we have Soras who like maybe have been in the military. Some of they charter chapters overseas.
Okay.
Fredar posted, friend to the show, Dr. Fredar Mavera, she posted a picture of like seeing Soras in Ghana. You know what I mean? Like, so we have a lot of international chapters.
Interesting. Okay. I just wanted to know that stuff. Yeah. You got any questions about the sororities, attorneys, bro?
No, we don't care.
Bro, I ain't got.
And I want to give, since we're talking about Greeks, I just want to give a shout out to Boosie Badass who had the Kappas.
You're up in arms. Yeah.
So Boosie's song, just real quick for those who don't know, Boosie's song "Wipe Me Down" has become like kind of like the unofficial Kappa anthem.
Mm-hmm.
And last week, before Founders Day, I think.
It was right around that time. Right around that time.
Boosie was spotted at a game wearing a Capper sweatshirt. And, you know, everybody called him out on it, did whatever. Boosie apologized, but was like, all right, I apologize, but basically y'all got to teach me the song that y'all do my dance. That means the dance y'all do my song to. But where it gets more complicated is that Boosie's brother is a Capper from Southern. Mm-hmm. TQ is a Capper from Southern. One of his best friends is an Omega.
Yeah, he's like a Southern nigga. He knows all about fraternities and sororities. So he knows what it is.
And people also don't realize that Boosie actually comes from like a bougie family. He's just a fucking villain.
Yeah, but, Boosie was like a high school basketball star. Like he's a still solid, like I said, black family.
Yeah, you know he comes from like a normal ass, like educated. Yeah. Family, he's the outlier, right?
Exactly.
So he gets on Instagram Live to try to practice the shimmy and is calling out like TQ and like TQ's Lime Brothers and all this other stuff. And it was hilarious to me. I mean, granted, I'm Greek and I feel a way when people try to perp, but I didn't feel like this was perfect. Like, he's not trying to front like he's a cat, but he's just basically like, y'all use my shit. Like,
so I want, yeah,
like, I
should be honorary, kind of, you know what I'm saying?
But I mean, I just think he was like, let me get this shimmy off.
I haven't seen what kicks he had on, but I'm 100% positive that shirt was to match his fit.
Oh, 100%.
There's definitely, he had on some white and red joints. I don't know what kind of joints they were, but it was definitely white and red.
He just thought it looked good.
That was kind of the point I made. I was like, you know, he wasn't wearing that shirt as some sort of pass to gain entry or access to, you know, something that's exclusively to Kappas. I don't even really think he saw it as such. And I think that if anybody would have told him, hey, you know, you really don't, you know, folks don't really wear that like that, or, you know, something in line. But like, niggas was getting really bent out of shape, man.
I was wondering if he actually took the shirt from his brother.
That's what I was wondering, because you can't. That's the thing. You can't just buy.
Yeah, so you can't just buy it. He told me I was in the mall and it looked nice. Ain't no in the mall.
Well, depending on where
in the mall,
nigga, you never know.
If he was in the mall near a school, then there might have been a Greek shop.
But he lives in Atlanta, so it's definitely possible.
But the thing is, you have to go into a Greek shop to buy that shit. It's not just anywhere. Like,
yeah, it ain't a Jimmy Jazz.
Yeah, you got to go into
a store. It ain't at Vims, nigga.
It ain't at the Foot Locker.
It's not in the back of the Foot Locker. Yeah. You got to go into a store that specifically makes that stuff. Yeah. So, I mean, but the Kappas are a little bit, like, they're susceptible to this shit because one of their unofficial symbols is the Playboy Bunny ears, right? And there's like gear right now that has those ears going down the side of the pants. I'm not sure who makes that, but I mean, it's the Playboy Bunny.
Playboy, the company has done some collaborations with some sportswear clothes.
Nukes wear it. That's cool.
Yeah.
But like a lot of people wear it who have no idea it has an affiliation. And some LA gang had the same bunny, had used the bunny ears back in the day too. I want to say with the diamond.
Oh,
and
wow.
Then the yo is also a gang symbol. So it's like, it's hard. And now a white power symbol.
Not a white power symbol, yeah.
So, you know, Kappas are kind of susceptible to a lot of like a cross appropriation, I guess you could call it, because so many of their unofficial stuff is used in other contexts.
Yeah.
But Boosie got, so anyway, Nationals actually issued him a letter.
Y'all saw that.
The other day. Basically, the letter was saying, you know, we're all about this kind of community service, underserved black communities. Since you seem to align with our interests, basically we're going to be in touch. You can help us make some money. That was basically what it is.
Yeah.
And people are like, oh, they're going to make him an honorary Kappa. First of all, they don't do honorary. Kappas don't do honorary. But second, even if they did, nobody's making anybody an honorary anything just because they went viral. Like, that's not...
Yeah, exactly. That's not... It's a little more energy than that. But yeah. God bless them. God bless Boosie Badass. Y'all got any shout-outs before we get going?
I want to shout out Ivy Park and Adidas.
Oh, yeah. Did you get any stuff yet?
No. But I've never seen such a big unboxing campaign. I don't think ever. Yeah. There's just been all these influencers all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
These they sent out so much product.
Yeah.
Like huge
big ass boxes. Exactly. Yeah. Like, I saw a vet Noel Shore opening hers today on
It's hilarious to me that a vet did an unboxing like a vet. You put yourself on the list? How'd that work? Like
Work.
Like, you know. Okay, talking about thank you, Beyonce. Okay, a vet. but yeah, it started with the first person I think saw do it was Yara.
Yes.
I mean, just big wardrobe rack of shit.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, the stuff looks fly. The sneakers look fly. I'm gonna try to cop the sneakers. But yeah. Yeah.
I think it was. I mean, it was smart for her to kind of reintroduce it and pair with Adidas because obviously Adidas, you know, they do this. You know what I'm saying? This is what they do. They do, you know, sportswear. They know where to put it, how to market it, So it's gonna take it to a whole different level. And I'm assuming what they're planning on doing is eventually trying to get some sports stars to actually wear it, you know, playing in a game like the WNBA or, you know, a woman tennis player or somebody to kind of wear it and make it more of an actual sports brand than a kind of fashion-y brand, which kind of started out with. So, yeah, no, it's cool. It's cool, though. You got any shout-outs, bro?
No, I'm good.
You straight.
Oh, okay. I needed to come back and say to you, Jeffrey, that right now,
ain't never good.
No. Delta and AKA apparently have about the same number of members right now.
Okay.
It's so around 300,000.
That's a lot.
It's a lot.
All right, let's just get going.
Do they all be at the meetings though?
No.
Do they pay their dues? They put you ain't put in, Brenda.
If we Google financial, that'd be a whole
other ball game, huh? Okay.
As it always is for every org.
I know who my shout out was to. My shout out was to the queen, Miss Bobby, who was on the Twitter, I'm just assuming because it's just a clip, but looked like it was these three older black women. I think the one was a shade younger than the other two. It looked like they were coming.
Miss Elaine was the young one.
She was the young one. She's my baby sister. She's 63. It looked like they was coming to Miss Elaine's house for Thanksgiving. Like, we got their baby flown in somewhere because they had luggage. And Miss Bobby would come up, climbing up on the porch. You could see in the back.
There wasn't a ramp on the porch.
It was, you know, the down.
And it wasn't a banister. It wasn't a rail.
Yeah.
It had
the three small steps. And you see Miss Bobby kind of wobbling before she even went to it. Like, I don't know if I'm going to make this.
Yep.
And Miss Bobby went to topping over on her back, and you know, Elaine yelling, "Bobby, girl, fall over!
What you doing falling?"
The middle one saying, "Oh, Elaine!
Oh, Elaine! Jesus!"
Elaine was like, "What you doing falling?
Oh my God! I was so worried about Miss Bobby.
You know they ain't got no insurance.
And then somebody sent me—it was viral. They sent to me personally, but like somebody sent me a clip that went viral of part two. When they went on and rescued Miss Bobby, and from all that we could tell, Miss Bobby probably a little bruised.
They picked her up. Nigga said they rescued her like she was on the run from a bear, nigga.
You know, I don't know shit. You know, if I'd have been driving by, you know how to stop my brakes. Hey, let me run over there now.
Yeah.
You know, they picked her up and put a little ointment on her that night. You know, shit is episode. But I just want to say peace to Miss Bobby, and wherever you are, I hope you had a beautiful holiday, and you just, you know, watch yourself now. We don't need you breaking no hips, Miss Bobby.
Yeah, right, we hope you're okay, Miss Bobby.
We hope you're okay.
And Miss Elaine, you better put that alarm on next time. I ain't hearing that alarm go off exactly. When you ring that door.
You know Miss Elaine's grandson or somebody who pulled that pretty footage and put it on the internet.
Pulled it right off the ring. Junior. Pulled it right off the ring and put it on the Facebooks. I want to start off talking about real quick about the Oscars, Oscar nominations. Now, you know, now you want to give us the great news?
Yes. Well, I don't think everybody knows who listens to the podcast, but I work with Cynthia Erivo. I'm part of her management team on the music side, only not the acting side. But
how did you meet her? I forget how you met her again.
She was actually signed under the management company that Jama signed.
Oh, that's right.
And then when she found out I left, she was still looking for music representation and asked about it. work with her. But she has been nominated for her first two Oscars.
Wow.
She was nominated as Best Actress, and she was nominated for Best Original Song, which makes me excited because that's me. So yeah, so we're going to the Oscars because all Best Original Song nominations perform.
So wait, so if she wins the Best Original Song, do you get a trophy?
No, because I'm not a writer, but I'm just saying that's part of her business. I can't
put it together. Okay.
Yeah. So, but if she wins, first of all, she's only the third person to be nominated in acting and music categories in the same year. First was Mary for Mudbound. Then last year, Gaga was second for Star Is Born, and Cynthia's third. And then second, if Cynthia wins, she will be the youngest and fastest EGOT.
So this will be the last one? She's got everything else?
She got everything else already.
She got a Grammy?
For a cast recording of Color Purple, yep.
Oh, shit. Okay, yep. Damn. That's pretty fucking bonkers.
That's going to be a trivia question.
And it definitely is. And everybody's probably going to say John Legend.
Yeah, John was youngest when he won.
Yes, I'm saying, but people probably look at him, you know?
Yeah,
that's amazing.
Yeah.
I didn't realize she was that close to EGOT. That's pretty wild. Yeah. So that's a very exciting news. And, you know, peace and love to Cynthia, and I hope she pulls it home. There was a little controversy this year because it seems like they passed on a lot of the, besides Cynthia, really, shit.
She's the only, not even the only black actor. I think she's the only actor of color, period, nominated.
Yeah, and there were people were upset because Lupita didn't get anything for Us.
So can I just say, I don't know that was an Oscar-worthy.
No, nigga. We going to say it. Sean Young's gonna say it. It was not. It was not.
Like, you ain't like the movie anyway, though.
No. What we're not gonna do.
But I don't know if it was Oscar, but like Oscar.
Yeah, like what we're not gonna do here, okay, is just take any and every fucking role that that it's the only point of reference we have, and we're trying to justify that. As some, like, listen, if you want to make the argument that there should be more roles for her in which she's not doing one movie a year, that's a valid argument. She's a talented woman. She can do more. I get all of that, right? I don't know what their process is to pick and choose, but we're not going to sit here and act like Us was this great movie. And it's absolutely okay for it to have not been.
Yeah.
It was not an Oscar.
It was entertaining. I don't know that it was. It was an Oscar.
Yeah, like, come on, man. Come on. What are we doing?
I liked it when she did the little walk and shit, man.
No, but that's not worthy of an Oscar. Like, that's not an Oscar. The problem is there weren't that many, you know, I mean, what we should talk about is the fact that, you know, like, Uncut Gems got completely overlooked.
Yeah, I was going there. Uncut Gems, J-Lo for Hustlers.
J-Lo for Hustlers. I was surprised they didn't even give, like, Daniel Kaluuya. Like, Queen of Some has been shut out of awards altogether.
Yeah, they're acting like that didn't even come out.
They completely shut out My Name is Dolomite.
They shut out Eddie. Yep.
Yeah, so, I mean, there's other conversations we could have, and what this might be is, like, you know, we had Oscar So White a couple of years ago, and then the following year we had, you know, the most diverse Oscar nomination pool ever.
You think this is a backlash to that?
This is the bat. I think it's cyclical. And a Twitter friend who's a filmmaker posted some comments from somebody saying this is, you know, the industry equivalent of, you know, the what they call the white male anxiety on the politics side, where they're intentionally voting for the projects that are white so that those are the kind of projects that keep getting greenlit. It's kind of meant to discredit the projects of color because now there's a conversation in white Hollywood, like, oh, it's harder for white men to get jobs. It's never been hard for white men to get jobs anywhere.
Ever.
Ever. Y'all always going to get more jobs than everybody.
And make way more bread.
I think that there's a specific direct counter to what we saw, but I also think that there is generally and genuinely a connection to the people who look like you, right? Like, and even when you, okay, I have no problem with communicating or hanging out with anyone. It is no secret that when I'm in a room, I specifically look for black people.
Right.
Because that is my tribe.
Yeah, you're almost right. Like I'm not. I'm not.
Yes. Now, what I'm talking about is harmless, right? And doesn't impact anyone. It is for my own personal sanctity, right? Like this is not me picking and choosing people for jobs. This is not me picking and choosing art and culture and driving a line. So I understand that, but I do think that there are some things where, you know, we kind of, we know from being in music and from being in entertainment that a lot of this shit is not done in the boardroom.
Right.
It is done in the same way the titans of industry make their deals on the golf course and at the country clubs. It's the same way that Hollywood, as well as the music biz, would find their havens and they would connect in those spaces.
Yeah, and their munches and all that.
So this isn't about being given a job, right? This isn't about, okay, we're going to green light one or two of these movies, right? And then we know what happens, right? They'll green light some shit and then it's never enough. Like even when we do a movie and it's in the black, it's never enough. When we do a movie and it doesn't make a lot of money, but it's critically acclaimed, it's never enough. Mm-hmm. Like we have to check so many boxes and that shit is exhausting, man. I want to see us have films like us. Like God bless Adam Sandler. Adam Sandler has made a fucking career of sophomoric, ridiculous humored movies that are average at best. And guess what? I'm okay with that. Like that's
I'm taking this conversation a little left. But your point, Sean, is valid, and that's one of the reasons that I get a little ticked when a lot of people go at Tyler, because it's like, yo, like he's doing what a lot of these other cats do that you guys don't blink about. Like you said, like Adam Sandler making, you know, Billy Madison. I love them Sandler movies. Like,
yes.
I love them, but they're not, you know, they're not fucking deep and they're not Oscar. They're just goofy and fun. And I love them. And then Tyler makes his, you know, Madea movies and everybody's acting like he's committing a crime. It's like, he's doing what Adam is doing, which is kind of finding an audience and is feeding that audience.
But Jeff, nobody is. I think the problem with that is that there are definitely people who critique Adam Sandler movies. We may not hear it because we're not looking for that conversation, but nobody is stopping Tyler from doing what he does. I think the problem is on both sides, right? Like filmmakers and TV showrunners, everybody should be allowed, obviously. There should be room for some casual narratives. Like we don't have to fucking think piece everything to death.
That's my point.
Any art is open to critique. Any art.
I'm not mad at the critique.
So people should also be able to say this is some really simplistic trash.
I agree with you. I'm not I agree with you 10,000%. I'm not arguing that point, but I just feel like with us, the black community.
This was not as deep as everybody.
No, I mean us, the black community.
Yeah, he mean us.
Us folks.
us black people.
Us niggas. You know, we OD on our own stuff a lot. That's my point.
We do. We absolutely do.
That's my point. You know. But anyway, yeah, so there's been kind of like that thing. But I'm going to do what I always say. I'm going to try to watch at least the Best Picture movies. I'm going to try to watch them all before the Oscars. It's going to be tough. Because Oscars early this year, right? What is it? 26?
Grammys are early.
Grammys are early.
Oscars are February.
So March? February 9th, which you because they've been in March before at some points, right?
That's the latest. Actually, what's happening, everything is about a week earlier than usual. So usually, you know, Grammys are usually first weekend of February.
Yeah.
And then you have All-Star. Right. I think the reason it's all shifted is because Super Bowl is first weekend of February.
Yeah, well, Super Bowl's mad early. Super Bowl's February 3rd.
Super Bowl usually, I feel like everybody sets their calendar around Super Bowl because it's back to back. It's going to be Grammys, then Super Bowl, then Oscars, then All Star, then something else.
Yeah. So I'm going to try to get as many in as I can. I did see Once Upon a Time in America. In Hollywood. I think I talked about it on the show.
I think I still need to see
it.
I've seen. I saw Hustlers, which actually I was.
Yeah, really I saw Hustlers. I saw Hustlers.
I saw The Farewell, which is excellent, by the way.
Now, which one is that one?
That's the one with Awkwafina, the Chinese girl.
Oh, is that really good?
It's really good.
She got shut out too.
She sure did, and she won the Globe. which is interesting.
Yeah.
Like they're way off from the Globe nomination. Yeah. It's interesting because she won the Globe. Mm-hmm. And did the director win? I mean,
the director from Parasite won.
Right. I have to see Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. I need to see this Renee Zellweger film.
Judy Garland joint? Yeah.
I don't even remember hearing about it.
Yeah, I remember when it came out.
I remember it happened, but I don't remember hearing, like, her
performance. Yeah, I don't think it did well at the... I don't know how well it did at the box office.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Have you seen Parasite?
I haven't seen Parasite yet. I need to find it.
I want
to
see that too. I heard that shit is super dope. Yeah, it's creepy, but I heard it's super... It's creepy, but it's, like, dark humor too. I heard it's really, really good.
I heard it's really good. I do need to see it.
See, so I wish I could. I don't have a DVR anymore. I also wish that when I used to get the.
How you ain't got a DVR? Look at that.
That's why I don't have one.
That's what I said. How you ain't got a DVR?
I mean, the VCR. But whatever. DVD. DVD. You know, I'm like me.
Sat in his VCR. I'm like what you taping, Martin?
You know what I meant. That means
a different world. Come on. They didn't change the time for different world. I got
to tape that. Make sure I get all the gems.
You got a dollar.
I meant the DVD. I don't have a DVD player anymore. So years ago, you get the screeners and you kind of watch.
Yeah, I get them. And so you can literally go grab. I went and grabbed one for like, I think it was like $35.
Yeah, they cheap as shit now, right?
Like between that and the HDMI cord, it's like $40. And I took that when I went to Ghana because
that was always the way when I did do the catch up on Oscars, I would do it via the screeners, you know, because everything's not out yet.
I don't think they do physical screeners anymore. I think now it's digital, so they can better track.
Oh, they kind of email
to stop the piracy.
No.
It's not, Sean.
No, they physically. You get physical copies
in the mail.
But now they can't they track them now or something?
They're absolutely watermarked.
Okay.
Oh.
And not where you can just see them. They're absolutely, you know,
digitally watermarked.
Digitally watermarked. They can track where those DVDs are going to and coming from and all of those sorts of
things. Listen, this used to be the time of year when the good bootlegs came out.
That's what I'm saying. Clear
bootlegs.
Amazing.
Yeah.
And then people pass them around like, yo, you got that farewell, yo nigga. That shit all right though. You know what I'm saying? So have you been watching Keeping Up Nye with Love and Hip Hop New York?
No, and I should be. I don't know. Like, I watched the first two episodes, and I'm going to probably binge it one day. My viewing schedule is kind of full right now. I think that's the problem. I haven't even gotten back on Black King Chicago yet at all.
I'm like two seasons behind on them. I'm not on Power. I'm thrilled, man. Like, it's
90 Days Fiancé and Married at First Sight are taking up a lot of my reality TV bandwidth right now.
Yeah, and there's so much content out that it's hard to just kind of keep up. There's always literally daily there's something new coming out that looks kind of interesting, you know.
Yeah, I had to check out on Black Ink.
Yeah, I kind of keep up via reading on Twitter about it, you know.
I checked out on Black Ink. It's just all over the places.
But now I know you wanted to mention the show that I want to watch called Cheer.
So Cheer is a 6-part docuseries on Netflix by the same people who do Last Chance U.
Okay.
And it is following the Navarro Bulldogs, who are JUCO cheerleading squad, but they're one of the top cheerleading programs in the country.
They're from in California?
No, in Texas.
Texas, okay.
Yeah. They're one of the top cheerleading programs in the country, which in and of itself is interesting because obviously they compete in a different division. They compete against other junior colleges, but they still are one of the top programs in the country. And when you think about the fact that you're turning kids over every 2 years, maybe some stay behind the extra year, you know, because they're just not ready to move on with life. Mm-hmm. But the fact that you don't have 4 years to develop an athlete, you have two, makes it really kind of amazing. And I've actually been encouraging people who don't care about cheerleading to watch this because this is about the athletic side of cheerleading. This is about
they're athletes.
Yeah, this is following them on the road to nationals.
Yeah.
And unless you are either really into cheer or you're a cheer parent, a lot of people really don't know anything about this side of cheerleading. They don't know about, you know, competitions and all that, because they don't do the real stunts don't happen on the sidelines. Like, you don't really see the pyramids and all that stuff during halftime shows and sideline, you know, cheers and all that other stuff during games. That is only really reserved for competition. So it shows, I mean, these kids are getting fucked up. The coach is like, she can go head to head with any NFL coach in terms of toughness. Like, you know, she's trying to push injuries past the athletic director, like all of that. Wow. You know what I mean? Like, but it really is. And it's fun. And the other thing that's interesting about it is, which I think might be why these people decided to do it, when you think of cheerleading, especially on a collegiate level, you think about like shiny, preppy kids, you know, blonde and came from kind of certain kind of homes. Like, a lot of these kids come from really fucked up homes.
Yeah.
You know, there's one whose mom died. There's one whose parents just bounced on her.
I saw the clip of the homosexual boy, the black boy.
Yeah.
Cheering stuff like that. Yeah, is that his name, LaDarius?
LaDarius, yeah. LaDarius' brothers used to try to literally beat the gay out of him. You know, like that.
Wow.
So they, out of the entire squad, which I think is like a 40-person squad, they mic'd up maybe 6-7 kids to follow them, plus the coach and the assistant coaches. It's just really a compelling watch, and they could not have picked a better season. Like, they couldn't have scripted a better competition season to follow these kids on either. It's a really compelling watch. I watched it in one sitting. It's amazing.
As soon as I finish up You, I'm going to jump into that.
You're still watching You?
I know, because football's been on, so I'm watching. Okay. I'm watching the in between shit, you know. By the way, bro, did you watch any football? Did you get to watch football this weekend?
I did. I didn't give a fuck about none of them teams. My Saints ain't playing. Fuck everybody team who won.
I hate it here.
I watched. You know, I'm in and out, man. Like usually, but yeah, I watch the games on Saturday.
Yeah.
I kind of go by the cigar shop. So I watched the 49er game. That was really the only game I sat through.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I watched the other games. I watched a couple plays here. I think when I came back, I think Kansas City was playing. I'm cooking with the game.
It's on. Yes, on. Yeah.
It's on, but I'm not like super, you know. I enjoy football like anyone else, right? Mm-hmm. But I'm not one of those intense guys.
Like, the world shuts here down because the game.
Yeah. I'm not about to sit here and watch like 7 hours of fucking football.
Dude. Yeah.
Like, I had shit that I had to send notes back on. You know what I'm saying?
You should do.
Yeah. So yeah. You know, I was kind of doing that as well.
Yeah. I'm kind of like, I mean, when I was a little younger, I would definitely be like, yo, Sunday, like all day. But now, like, just like you said, like, you know, if I'm home and it's on, I'll check it out. But I'm not setting my schedule around it. Like,
yeah.
Oh, the game starts at 3. I can't do nothing from 3 to 9, you know?
If the Saints are playing, everyone knows that, like, that's kind of my time. Yeah. That's the only time I really kind of block out. Yeah. And honestly, man, like, because even when they're like, if they're blowing a team out,
yeah,
I'm not watching that shit.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I'll start flipping channels or doing other shit or whatever. Shit. You know, so I don't know. I did pick Tennessee in my pool to win, so I felt good about that. Picked Tennessee twice now, so so we'll see. And I think they're gonna give. They already beat Kansas City once a season. I think they could mess around and pull it out again.
Hey man, any given Sunday at this point, you're in the Final Four, bro.
Especially when you got a dude that's 6'4", 260 running the ball. You know what I'm saying? You been watching Real Housewives?
Child, yeah, I just finished the last episode.
Did you watch it, bro?
Yeah, I did. Yep.
Okay, so let's talk about that a little bit. So, this week they were up in Toronto for the carnival, which obviously was taped back in the summer, and it just turned into, the whole show turned into this whole mess about this recording, alleged recording of Cynthia. Somebody taping Cynthia's conversation, and it just got
I still don't understand what the fuck happened.
I don't either. And these, like, I've said this before, and it's not going to change. But it's like, it just still blows me. Like these are like grown women. It's like am I watching Love and no disrespect, Peace to Money Entertainment. Am I watching like Love and Hip Hop LA with you know, which to me has the youngest cast, you know, the kids, or like these are like 50-year-old women.
Like here's the thing that really gets me about that whole thing. Nene came to Toronto with the goal of getting back in these women's good graces because she's feeling isolated, right? Like her whole theme this season.
And the whole show is moving on without her.
Right. And her whole theme this season is like, she don't understand what went wrong in these friendships. But at the same time, she continues to say that she doesn't know why, or at least in her interviews, she'll say, her confessional, she'll say she doesn't understand why she needs to apologize or what she needs to apologize for. And like, continue to half-ass her attempts to get back good. And Cynthia is the one she feels the most of a way about, because Cynthia is really like, I could give a fuck about Nene right now, right? Yeah. And in the past, anytime Nene has withheld from Cynthia, Cynthia been like,
chased behind her.
And now Cynthia's like, she's engaged, and she's like, shit's popping. Mm-hmm. Nene's feeling away. So, but what Nene did was, you know, Nene told Candy that somebody taped Cynthia talking shit about her.
Yes.
But here's the thing. Cynthia's been doing interviews. Cynthia's been on air. Cynthia has said stuff in reunion shows. So it's not that Cynthia said anything that hadn't been said to Nene's face or that Nene hadn't heard. Their concern was who in the crew is going around
recording
people unknowingly, right? Because we don't know what the fuck you might have.
Yeah.
Bring this girl around. What's her name? Yadonna?
Joanna.
Joanna?
Yeah.
Who I think the chick is on drugs, personally, me and myself. Because this is the same girl who actually. No, because remember at the dinner party, this is the same girl who.
Oh, like, yeah. I was that bitch at Clark.
At Clark. Like, what is wrong with you?
Yeah.
Like,
maybe and you're 40 like, something. You're 40 something.
Yeah.
And like, you talk about some shit that happened 25 years ago.
Yeah, like maybe she's trying to get the Marlo spot. I don't know, but she's messy and disruptive and rude and a hater. And so she's being messy like it's somebody in your crew.
Mm-hmm.
Then Nene is like, okay, let's all talk about it. But now Nene is like, well, I didn't say somebody recorded. I said somebody has.
It's audio. Like, what the hell is that? I didn't understand what that meant.
And she never explained it. I don't know either. And I don't think the woman ever explained it to her, to be honest with you. But Nene is sitting there like, Yadonna, you need to explain it. Yadonna is like, or whatever her name is.
Joanna.
Joanna.
I think it's like, Joanna.
Portia, you need to be worried about your man. And Nene is like, why are you bringing up Dan? You know what I mean? Like, it was just all unnecessarily messy.
Yeah.
And then when the producers say to Nene, why would you not just tell her what was going on, meaning Cynthia? Nene's like, well, I don't owe her that because she didn't tell me information when I need to know it. Talking about Ken showing up at an event. It's like, bitch, you will never move forward with this shit. Like, what is wrong with you? Ken needs therapy. I mean, well, yes, Ken needs therapy. That's separate. But Nene needs a lot of intensive therapy.
Yeah. And you can tell that the cast is genuinely, like, not genuinely... All of them are genuinely like, I'm not fucking with you no more. So now she's feeling isolated.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if the production team is probably feeling the same way. Like, yo, who knows?
But kind now of you got fights starting for no reason. We got to break up. We
legit fights. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, and even like with King, like King is messy as fuck too. That's a whole nother thing. Like, the whole thing with Kenya and Tanya and her man at the table.
Yeah, that was whack. That was whack.
So whack.
Yeah, it's like this girl Tanya seems happy. You know, her dude seems to be in love with her too. They haven't decided to get married, and that's their business. But they seem happy. Like, why are you even trying to do anything?
Well, you just answered the question.
Because she's happy.
They seem happy.
Yeah.
Right. And so what you're saying?
Falling apart.
What you're saying is. These women, like, their lives are now being exposed in a way that it's, you know, probably, you know, the lights are hot, right? So it's a little difficult to deal with. And so the easiest place for them to take, the easiest place for a person to take those frustrations out is definitely somebody they don't have to go home with later.
Right, right.
Right? And so you kind of come here into this powder keg, right? So you have you know, a little bit of alcohol. Right. You know, you know, things been a little loosey-goosey. Mm-hmm. And then, boom, you strike a match. Like, we've seen literally this same sort of scene happen at whatever that lingerie
party.
Because it's the same vibe. So they get to a point every so often, they all get to a point where everyone is angry or frustrated at a bunch of other things. Like, Portia going off on a handle about, like, listen, God bless you. If you're getting back with Dennis, you know, then you need to be a horse with blinders on.
Yeah.
If you're going to react like that every time somebody mentioned your man out here doing something crazy, my nigga, you're going to be fighting every day.
Every day.
I don't know what to tell you other than that. So
every day.
Unless you're ready to go to jail for an assault charge, okay, you need to fucking zip it and stop letting this shit get to you to that point.
With Kenya, like, why? I understand why I understand when Candy asked Tanya, when are you getting married? I really believe Candy was not doing it to stir up some shit. She was doing was, everybody was asking Cynthia about all these wedding details, and you know, Kenya was like, well, I'm the wedding planner, because Kenya always has to make it about her. And I really feel like Candy was trying to be like, okay, but we have other people at the table getting married.
Yeah. Right?
Tanya definitely feels a way about it, even if she says she doesn't, because she gets defensive
whenever
they bring it up. However, for Kenya to then be like, well, let's ask a situation, and how would you feel if he cheated on you?
Would you want us to tell you? And like, what?
Yeah, just like her in her face like that. But like, why? Like, for what?
I'm going to say this too, man, and I think that Kenya plays this part really well. But I also would be very curious as to how she's getting this information. You know, is production feeding her this, because they know she's a bit of the firecracker? Like, this just doesn't really make sense to me, right? Like, a random woman you met somewhere at a bar, and you fucking bought her a drink, like.
Yeah,
I mean, and like, now she's on a reality show. Like, how does that even transpire, right? So, I think what happens is like, you know, Tanya has this bit of, you know, she's not a fiery personality, she's not a big personality, right? And other than her really sort of being just a beautiful woman, right? Like, mm-hmm. there's no real reason to have her on screen.
So they're giving you
a little drama. And, you know, I don't know what their situation is. I don't know if they're aware of this. I don't know if this is all for naught, right? Like, at the end, we find out that this was somebody that he works with or knows or whatever, and it's really nothing. Or if this is some shit that kind of, you know, ruins their relationship. I don't know. And honestly, I'm not that vested in either of them. You know, and God bless them, but, like, you know, it's the women feel disjointed is the word. They feel really disjointed. So unlike when you watch Married to Medicine, like, you really feel like Jackie and Simone are friends. They talk shit and they're like, girl, and you know, and they go out and do shit. Outside of the
camera. Absolutely,
absolutely. I just don't feel like
this. I only feel like that about Candy is the only one I really feel still has genuine friendships with several of these women. Like, and maybe it's just because she hasn't fallen out as severely with any of them yet. Like, Marlo and Mimi in their own dysfunctional way, sure. But I do believe that Candy is genuinely still friends with Cynthia. I believe that Candy is genuinely still friends with Portia. I believe that her and Nene are just like, they're co-workers, right? Like, they're
I'll see you at the event or whatever.
Yeah, I mean,
I think Eva's just associates with all of them. Like, she shows up because she got a tape.
Yeah.
And I think Portia's trying to figure it out because Portia has her guard up and she don't want everybody to know her business.
Yeah, I think Portia thought her and Nene were friends until Nene shitted on her.
Exactly, and then Portia got burned by Phaedra, you know, so
bad. Oh, I forgot about the Phaedra.
Yeah, so I think Portia has her guard up, you know, to a bit. And she's also in a place where, like, she's looking for, you know, she's trying to look for some kinship. Like, I think her and Candy are cool. But Candy and Cynthia seem like the most genuine friends to me. Kenya is just like, bitch, why are you so hateful? Like, I just really don't understand. Between, like, almost ruining Cynthia's engagement and then acting like she didn't realize it was a big deal for her to say that, and, like, starting this shit table and, you know, interrupting, like, crashing Marlo's wig line. Like, are you that pressed to make sure you stay on the show?
Yes. Again, no, yes, yes, yes. We're, like, you know, look. Kenya's not going to be missing any meals, right? Like, we get that she's a talented woman and she can go out and find work, right? Or create a business opportunity.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But we're not going to ignore, like, the bottom line that this show can impact your quality of life.
Absolutely.
Right? And
the show's driving the bus right now.
Yes, the show is driving the bus. The show is often the center or sort of the force behind all of the ancillary businesses that they go out and do.
Right.
Their appearances, their hair. You having a hair care line doesn't mean shit. You're one of 250,000 on IG. What sets you apart is your ability to go on national television and be able to promote it. Or at least have people acknowledge it. Mm-hmm. So I think that I think, you know, it wouldn't be wise to just suggest that this has been profitable for her. This character that she's created. Listen, I don't know that woman, right? Like, I don't know if this is an act. I don't know if this is whatever, right? But what I do know is that if being on television and playing the bad guy is the difference in my yearly nut, you know, being here or there.
You gotta do what you gotta do.
And
she can't use her marriage. And I do that, but I think that also Kenya genuinely is like, I think it is genuinely a misery loves company thing, because as long she was always so messy about everybody's marriages, and now she's finally a wife, and she can't even throw the wife card down in the way.
Yeah, because her shit's a disaster.
I think she wanted to. I think all this shit was an angle to mimic Kim Zolciak. All of this was in an attempt to, you know, have the baby, have the husband, see if they can get a spinoff.
Right.
See if she can have her own lane. You know, it would have been easy for her to transition. You go to a little small half-hour show. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
Nothing major, but then sort of gradually move yourself out of the Real Housewives franchise. And gain your own show, right? Like, I thought that was probably the plan, right? Like, I just had a baby. I'm married now. I have this new life. Here I am.
And then old boy went left with it.
Well, I don't even know if he went
left. Oh, maybe there's no left of the right
time. I'm saying, I think he's been who he's going to be and who he's been since they met.
So you don't think he's changing up at all?
I don't think he's changing up at all. I don't think niggas like that can...
I don't think he signed on for it. Like, nothing about their relationship, the history of their relationship, suggests to me that he actually signed on.
So what do you think? You think that she thought that she could kind of eventually convince him to do it?
Yes, either that, or like Sean said, they would have their own show so they could control the narrative differently, like maybe about them being two business people merging their lives together, and probably tell him to be good promotion for his stuff in New York and for his stuff in Atlanta. And maybe that didn't work. And she's also kind of revealed some things, like when she was asking Cynthia a lot of questions about where her and Mike were going to live, and Cynthia was kind of like, doesn't your husband live in a whole nother state? You asking me all these questions. And Kenya was kind of like, bitch, that's why I'm telling you, you need to ask these questions. Like, she also kind of revealed that
she didn't know that. Yeah, wasn't going to work these
details out, right?
Yeah.
Think about that, my nigga. Like, y'all got married and no one had a discussion
about
like, where someone would live.
Or they might have just been like, oh, we'll figure it out later or some shit.
Nigga, that is not a figure it out later conversation.
Absolutely not.
At all.
What are we doing here?
And for both of them, it's, just on a business level, I mean, not an emotional level, maybe that too, but definitely on a business level, it's tough for either one of them to move. Because he's got a thriving restaurant here in New York that's been around for quite a long time, does really good business. He might have other business ventures here too, but obviously that restaurant does really well. It's a staple in that community. So he's not going to close it down. He's making money. And she, of course, has her whole life set up in Atlanta. And she makes money living in Atlanta. Plus, she owns a $2 million home there.
My guess is that paid for. Guess is that there's probably been, and I'm talking complete shit, as we say. My guess is that there's probably been an argument with them where he's been like, I don't understand why you can't just move here. Like,
it's not exactly. So, and she's like,
not that she has a brick and mortar shop, but like you said, she owns her home. He's probably been like, rent that bitch out. Like, just.
Yeah, but she's like, yo, everything I do is here. Like, obviously, including the show and all that other stuff. So, I don't know. It's a, God bless him. That's a tough one, man. But I want to mention that another one of my favorite reality shows came on this week for the first time, for the first time for the season. It's called Family or Fiancé. It's on OWN.
Oh, it's back?
Yeah, it came on this week. It was the first one.
Oh, shit. Let me go. It was
crazy. Crazy as hell. So the show's about a couple that comes to
visit. We talked about it last season.
We talked about that season. Yeah, just kind of reiterating. This, a couple comes there to this house. It's a different house this season, but another beautiful house in L.A. And their families are both opposed to them being married for various different reasons, obviously, depending on the couple. And they bring the three family members from each side along with the couple to the home to try to figure out if they could get a cosign on these people getting married. And this season definitely started off with a bang. Now, you ain't watched it, so I won't give it away. But it started with a bang. It was a really intense show. And I still definitely want to cover it because it's a good show.
I watched the trailer and I was just really, I'm gonna be honest. I'm not about to sit on a soapbox and I'm not about to like stand on a moral high ground. Mm. But like that wasn't the show that I saw last year.
Oh no,
Has it gotten messier? Or?
Yes. Yeah. It seems that they have done what a lot of shows tend to do. And look, I'm not going to toot our own horn, right? But there's a certain rawness, right, that Love & Hip Hop has and has had, mm-hmm. and a lot of shows look to create that because we drive the social commentary.
Yes, it goes right to the blogs and right to Twitter. Yes,
it
trends and it goes crazy.
Yes, and so they're trying to capture that energy, mm-hmm. and it's not the same thing, right? Like it's just not the same show, right? Like it's an hour of couple people in the house, and like last year, you saw kind of people that were like, you know, a little older. Like there was the one couple where,
oh yeah,
I think they were like 40 something. You know what I mean? Like they had grown kids. Like this felt like a situation where you can understand why someone would be coming in here to sort of get a blessing for a marriage, mm-hmm. right? Like, you know, hey, I want my family to merge and I want us to be happy and be on one accord. And this, just from the trailer, man, like it just felt like wildly dysfunctional, like erratic dysfunction. And again, I'm not shitting on the show because I'm definitely gonna watch it, but it just didn't feel like the same show, I guess is what I'm saying.
I think what happens, and you've mentioned this many times in the past, that I know you have, is when you hit a show like this, especially a show that has families involved, right? That first season is kind of, for lack of a better term, almost like pure in a way, because nobody knows what the show is because this is the first season. So we're like, that, obviously they know what they're supposed to be doing, but they're just kind of doing it and the cameras capturing things. But then once you get to season two, I think it's hard with a lot of these shows because now there's an awareness of what the show is, the cameras, how you want to look. I'm not going in to play myself, or I'm going to go over there to fucking set it off some niggas so I could be hot, you know, on the gram or whatever. And this new first episode, because people were pretty young, gave me that energy of like, I'm doing this shit because I'm going to be hot. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm going to get my followers up kind of thing, you know? And so we'll see how it goes throughout the season, if it's going to be more of that. But last season, I agree with you, Sean. It was like a little more kind of pure. I mean, it's only episode one.
Yeah, like one family last season, one family left.
Yeah.
Right, because they, They was like, yeah, we out. One family, they kind of figured it out, but it was like these sort of wildly tense moments, but they felt organic and they felt, I don't want to say unintentional, because I think that, you know, production, that's what you do, right? Like you try to find where you try to strike that chord where you can, but again, the vibe, you can tell, man, even the way they were dressed, you know, the grill, you know, everything was skewed to go to a certain demographic.
Yeah, to that younger demo that's going to make this shit hot. Like you said, Saturday night, we want to trend or whatever. You know, like I said, we're definitely going to keep watching, but
we're watching. Ain't nobody say we ain't watching.
But I understand what you're saying. I just want to give a quick, I don't know, shout out, if this isn't the right term, but I guess a prayer and blessings to the people of the, Philippines and the people, in Australia.
And Puerto Rico.
Yes. So there's been, these, it happens, I guess, a lot, but in the last week or two, there's been these horrible natural disasters. Huge earthquake in Puerto Rico, which has set off a ton of kind of like aftershocks and, you know, mini earthquakes all around the area. And people are just, you know, like even it was that bridge, I forget the name of that natural bridge in Puerto Rico. It fell down because of the earthquake.
Oh, damn, I didn't know that.
Yeah. It's been awful there. And of course,
and mind you, Puerto Rico still not recovered from
from before when your man was throwing
from the last two storm seasons.
Yeah, when your man was throwing fucking paper towels. It's bullshit. Then in Australia, like half the continent
was on fire,
and they've lost at least, they said, a half a billion animals.
Yeah,
if not more, it could be more by the time it's over. Who knows? They were rescuing koalas and rescuing kangaroos, and they said some species might literally be extinct now because of these fires.
Fires are destroying their habitat.
Exactly. Yes, yeah, it's just ash and soot everywhere. So they can't even just go back. And I read somewhere that was it started by people?
No. So there are. Here's the thing, like you said. The continent is on fire.
Yeah, the continent. Yeah, so, like one city.
There were some arrests for man-made fires.
Okay.
The state of the continent of Australia, though.
Yeah.
This is not a man-made.
This natural disaster, dry
this
temperatures,
is climate change, dry temperatures, lack of rainfall, and as a lot of people have pointed out, the same in terms of the Amazon. Indigenous people have warned how to care for and prevent these fires, and people listen less and less, right?
Yeah, until some shit pop off, and they're like, we should have listened.
Exactly.
Yeah, you know, and so it's that, and then the Philippines just had a massive volcano eruption, which is all over social media. You can see, like, the lightning strikes going through the smoke, and like it's awful. It's scary as shit.
Mother Earth is sick of our shit.
It's talking.
We are stressing her the fuck out.
Yep.
And I don't know why people, like, when people poo-poo climate change and all this stuff, it amazes me, because I'm like, the Earth has extinction level events. It's what happens. It's how the Earth protects itself. So like, the Earth will last. Some areas of nature will last. They will grow back. They will evolve. Our asses may not be here.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Like, that's the thing. It's not just about destroying the Earth. When we talk about destroying the Earth, we talk about destroying the Earth for human sustainability, right? Like, for us to be able to survive here. And like, yeah, the Earth may regenerate, but that shit could take millennia, you know? Yeah. So it's like,
absolutely,
we may not be here anymore. And it's real. And I really do believe that we are likely at the point of no return. And this shit is going to be the Hunger Games, like, maybe in our lifetime. Like,
for real. And things happen so fast now in a news cycle. Yeah. Now it's so quick that, like, we're not even talking about the fires in Brazil no more. Like that didn't happen. You know, and it's all good now.
It
got fixed, exactly. Like, oh, they're straight, they're good. It's like, no, nobody's good. So, like you said, it's horrible. You know, the mudslides. you watch the news, especially if you watch any type of like BBC news or news that's kind of like outside of the U.S. scope, some of these stories about some of these natural disasters that we're not getting here in the U.S. are just astounding, and nobody seems to like you said, to be even just taking shit seriously. It's crazy, man. So that's one I wanted to mention that. Let's get into Harry and Meghan. So Prince Harry, the Duke and Duchess of Sussex, Prince Harry and Meghan Markle, his wife, have decided to step back from their what duties is it called?
They're stepping back from being senior royal members.
Yes, so yes.
What that means is that in shortest terms, what it means is that they are no longer financially supported by the crown. They no longer get paid a salary. Being royals is no longer their job.
Yeah, they said
right
that.
Now, if you're a senior member of the royal family, being a royal is your job.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And so as of now, I believe the way I've read it to be set up is, as of now, Prince Charles is in charge of the bread, and he pays Harry and Meghan 95% of their salary. And then I guess there's another 5% that comes from maybe a trust or something that was set up for him or something.
Well, Harry has a trust from his mom.
Yes, exactly. So that trust covers the other 5%. And then his dad pays 95%. And in doing this...
And they live in their house is owned by the crown.
Yes. Yes, and everything. So they're basically all expenses paid.
Right.
Anything they want to do when they travel, whatever, private jets, all that stuff is paid for, and they don't have to kind of worry about that stuff. In making this move, that's one of the many controversies to making this move is, they've said publicly that they want to make their own bread and be independent of the money, because obviously the money controls them on what they have to do.
Right.
Main issue seems to be that the British press, surprise, surprise, is racist as fuck and have set up this kind of war, for lack of a better term, between Kate, William's wife, and Meghan. Now, it might be some things internally. Maybe they just don't like each other. I don't know. But it seems like from the door it was set up because Kate is obviously this white princess who's married, who's going to be the queen one day and is married to the future king. And Meghan is this mixed girl who's marrying a prince who is seventh in line,
and is also American.
Also American and divorced. So was never, more than likely, is never going to be the queen because there's just too many people between her and the crown. And I don't think she wants it anyway. So it's been kind of this thing where this American's come in and it's being pitted as this American has now taken Harry away from his royal duties and stopped him from being a royal and is stealing him away and taking him back to America disrespecting the queen
and blah blah blah.
But Harry has done some interviews in the last year or two where he's basically not even sugarcoated shit, saying, look, they killed my mom.
There's
a lot of things going on that y'all don't know about that was making it look like there was going to be some things that could possibly happen to Meghan. There are people, a lot of people around us that don't like her, and they would look. I found like there was some plans and some plots to kind of do some things to her, and I don't want to be part of this shit no more.
Well, and also now they have a son, right? So they have to consider Harry. You know, is especially is uniquely qualified to speak to what it's like growing up watching the tabloids drag your mother
in life and death.
Exactly. So they're also, I'm sure, thinking like, well, Meghan has said herself in an interview, like, all my friends said, like, you know, the press is really crazy. So I did not expect it to be this intense.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, Meghan got pregnant pretty early in the marriage, almost immediately. And I think there was probably a conversation after Archie came, like, this shit is clearly not going to change. How much do we care about this? Like, because it's not just about them now, it's about him.
Yeah, I suspect they're going to have another, child as well.
They have another child, right? Mm-hmm. So you have this child who's not only going to be in the crosshairs because he himself is mixed race, Mm-hmm. But because, you know, you got Megan's family acting up, because this also takes some power away from Megan's family.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Like, everybody's just basically showing the entire fucking ass. And Harry has clearly never cared that much about any of this shit anyway.
Yeah, because I think Harry, rightly so, like you said, definitely harbors, and he's shown it now more as he's gotten older, harbors a lot of resentment because his mom was killed and is not here. I think William has been kind of, beaten down is the right term or whatever, but it's kind of like, yo, you're going to be the king.
So you do things a certain way.
Exactly. Yeah. William's been groomed, like, you're going to be the king. So even if you're mad about your mom, you know, stiff up a lip, buck up, dude, because you got to do it. And I think if there are any issues between William and Harry, again, we're talking shit, we don't know. But my theory is, if there are any issues between William and Harry, and they're brothers, they're never going to, like, they love each other. But I think Harry looks at them like, bro, like, they killed our mom. Like, what the fuck? No, why are you going to hold me down?
William and Harry are beefing because William cheated.
Harry's pissed off about that.
William cheated on Kate.
Yeah.
There is ample evidence. And cheated with, like, one of their distant cousins.
Oh, I didn't know it was a cousin.
I mean, I don't, you know, they...
They're like 12th cousin or something. Yeah.
This bitch was like, came to their wedding, came to Harry and Meghan's wedding. Like, she's around. And...
She's thotting.
This is one place in which the British tabloids, like, legit did not really get into it, right? It happened around the same time that Harry and Meghan got married.
Oh, really?
And I think that's been... I think, was the beginning of the distance between them. I don't know that there's actual beef between Meghan and Kate. I think, if anything, they might just be two different kinds of people.
Okay.
You know, Kate seems more demure. And Kate also was very, like, Kate met Harry when she was in university. Like, she hasn't really lived a life outside of this. Mm.
And she's going to be the queen. So she's like, I got to do what I got to do.
Got to do what she got to do. So what some people are saying also is that what helped Harry and Meghan's decision along is the fact, I mean, the queen is 90 something, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, Charles allegedly is starting, he himself wanted to kind of shrink the monarchy a little bit, and make it like him and Camilla, and then, you know, William and Kate, and like kind of insulate it a little bit more. Which I'm sure they're fine to oblige with, like, that's cool. Okay. I don't think that William and Harry have issues that have to do with Meghan. Like, I do think that Harry has always been independent. Like, he was the bad boy out of the two of them growing up, and now all of a sudden people are acting like he's changed his behavior. He was always this cat. Like, it was always obvious that he was going to do things the way he wanted to do them, how he wanted to do them, when he wanted to do them.
Yeah, he's going to be hanging out with Puffy and them.
Yes, evidence even simply by the fact that he waited so long to get married. You know what I mean? So it's like,
he was always going to Jamaica, like, hanging out. Like, he's like, black girls, obviously. He married, you know, a mixed girl. Like, you know what I mean? Like, he's, like you say, he does his thing.
He holds his wife down, and I fuck with that.
Heavy. And it's just interesting to see that. What's interesting is kind of like, and it's just, like, it's just white folks in general, man, in a lot of cases. But, like, okay, so Megan comes over there. They rip her in the press. They drag her through the mud in the press. They try to, you know, say all these slick things about her when they had the baby. The paper printed like a baby is a monkey, like all kind of crazy shit, right? And then when she decides, I don't want to do this no more, then they look at her like, why are you leaving? Right. what are you talking about? And again, somebody like her who's not born in that country and not born into this, she's got a different perspective. She's like, oh, this is fly, but, like, I'm not doing this shit, because she doesn't have a sense of duty to it.
Well, it also baffles them, because so much of the spin on them is about Meghan wants all the attention. Meghan, you know, is a social climber. Meghan is an opportunist. So the fact that she's walking away from the throne nullifies a lot of their arguments about
her. They don't know what
to do with that.
Yeah, because it's like, you figured she'd stay there and, you know, just be stunting on everybody. But the fact that, you know, she wants to leave, and the rumor now is that they're going to be moving to Toronto, or in the Toronto
now
area.
In LA.
No, I heard LA is dead now. I heard it's going to be Toronto, because she has a lot of ties there, because she worked there.
Heard Toronto before, but
you heard LA now.
Confirmed LA recently. I'll look it up while we're on.
Okay. So But because matter of fact, when they did a call, I guess, or a meeting, either yesterday, day before, I think it was yesterday, and Megan was in Toronto. She didn't even come. And she's like, I'm here. Y'all do the meeting and let me know how it goes down. So the Queen and Prince Charles also pissed off because apparently, like, they announced it before they sat with them and talked to them about it.
That's not entirely accurate.
Okay, so go ahead, bro.
So they had already made their claims sort of valid. You know, they already told them that they didn't want to do this.
Ready to go.
Yes, Harry and Meghan. They were discussing how they were going to basically come and do this publicly.
Okay.
Harry gets wind that the story is about to leak, that they're looking to leave.
Oh.
He gets ahead of it.
So he immediately sends out the press release. So the idea that they were completely taken off guard is bullshit. Right.
So they mad that they got beat to the punch.
But what I think they were trying to do was back Meghan and Harry into a public corner by basically leaking the story that they were looking to distance themselves from the royal family. If they had done that before Harry sends that letter, then they might have been, you know, they might have faltered under public pressure, public scrutiny, family scrutiny, right? So he jumped out in front of it. So I think it was pretty, you know, I think it was pretty, you know, easy, you know, to sort of see where this was going. I want to say one thing that I found very interesting. I found it very interesting that so many men were, you know, calling him pussy whipped and
that's just crazy.
And like that's his wife, dude.
That's
like,
his wife.
Like that's his family. That's his wife and that's his child. And like so what I was reading more than anything wasn't just, you know, obviously they're saying, oh, he's pussy whipped, right? But what I'm reading is, why would you give up that much power?
Exactly. And money.
It was so indicative of like these bankrupt, like that bankrupt soul, man.
Morally bankrupt people.
The niggas are just bankrupt. Like their guts, man. Like their guts.
Anything for some bread, bro.
Yo, like my nigga, I assure you that Harry is not going to be working 4 to 12, my nigga. I promise you that.
Start working retail and shit.
Yeah, nigga, Megan is not going to be at the Saks.
Exactly.
In the shoe department.
Right. With a rubbing her feet and shit.
Yeah, we're good, my nigga. Nobody's in a 1,200 square foot two bedroom.
Yeah, exactly. Right? Cramped up. You know
Let's
what
relax.
Saying?
Let's relax here.
Yeah.
So the idea that they saying they want to go again, their earning potential is still in the
phenomenal.
Same, maybe 8 figures a year.
Yeah. Maybe nine.
Nine's a lot.
Right.
Yeah, I'm just saying. Even whatever, right?
Like yeah, they're good.
They're good.
No one is eating tuna fish because they have to, my nigga. Only because they want to.
They will live very comfortably. They'll be fine. And I'm sure that in addition to the trust he has from his mom, I'm 100% certain that there'll be some kind of inheritance of some sort at some point from the queen.
Of course.
Still his grandmother.
The families are $80 billion. He'll be okay.
So what another thing I want to say is, I think it's important that we point out the fucking raping and pillaging that has taken place over centuries.
Right.
Centuries.
Over centuries on this entire fucking globe that British flag has flown.
For the monarchy.
For that monarchy to have and afford and be able to do the things that they want to do, right? Like, mm-hmm. This is not by happenstance. They did not walk up and find $80 billion or whatever the fuck they're worth.
Yeah.
Right? So this idea, right, that they are now going to tell someone who is literally his bloodline that he can't have. Like, I mean, it's fine that he's leaving, but like,
he'd be all right.
You know, I probably would raise a little more hell than that. y'all gonna give me some of this bread.
I need some of this shit. You know, yeah, it's just really interesting. You said, like, people, I mean, that kind of, that whole morally bankrupt thing goes back to what we talked about last week. We were talking about Kevin Hart, and I just saw a lot of, when he had the argument with his trainer, and like you said, bro, he bought them the cars. Mm-hmm. I saw so many people online saying, yo, he bought his people's, like, the old schools, man, like, these, they good now. I'm like, no, bro, that's not, like, y'all, so basically, y'all niggas are saying, no matter what a nigga say to you, if somebody buys you something, night a watch or something, then it's good money.
Well, yeah, Jeff, because why else would you be friends with celebrities?
Nigga, niggas was out here giving away their publishing.
What other reason is there in the world to be friends with a celebrity other than to come up?
Niggas was out here signing away their publishing. Literally the lifeblood of a musician. What keeps Smokey looking like he's 60 when he's about 83. Okay.
Barry looking 45.
Niggas was signing that over for a Jacob watch and
word.
And an old ass Benz with 53,000 miles on it.
Right. It's the rims.
Niggas was signing their life over.
I know, a producer obviously will keep his name, I won't say it publicly. I know a producer said, yo, when I did my pub deal, I told them they had to buy me a Benz. I'm like, oh, bro, really? Like,
bro, and I just go over on a tangent. I know a dude that didn't take a deal and stood firm on his publishing. And listen, he never worked again.
He's good money.
But that piece of money helped him, you know, move and get situated.
Yeah, get him set up. Yeah. Too many people have done these deals, and, you know, again,
as Grandmaster Caz, but that's another.
That's a whole different animal, but. Yeah, but again, that's off to a whole different tangent. But like you said, it's just like you said, the morally bankrupt thing of like, and it's going on both sides. It's not just black folks, it's white folks too. Like, they looking at it like, yo, why would she? White women look at Megan like, you didn't deserve to be in the spot in the first place.
Well, because white women fantasize about princesses, about royalty, and I think that black folks, like, we're not as obsessed with the crown. You know what I mean? Like, we were rooting for Megan because Megan black. You know,
exactly.
We really don't give a fuck beyond that. I mean, this is the first year ever that all major beauty queens have been black. So, you know, but even still, like, most black girls don't know that because we
don't pay attention
on
to
that shit, right?
Yeah.
So it's like, I think that for us, the entire concept of leaving where you're not wanted is much more powerful than the idea of holding on to being a princess. But for white women, you know, motherfuckers were sending their daughters to school in the UK so they could have proximity to William.
Yeah, I remember that.
Like, and sending them with wedding gowns. Like, go to school with your gown, just in case. You know,
just in case he meets you, and then, you know.
Yeah, craziness. And, you know, it's for white women, especially, you know, like, WASPy white women, there is also just an historical, in terms of social aspirations, like a certain, you know, being groomed to meet a certain kind of man and do a certain kind of thing. And the fact that, like, you could be a literal princess with no regard for, like, what that means in terms of public scrutiny.
Nothing.
What that means in terms of, again, having to go through the family for every fucking thing you do. Like, you live there's no normalcy in your life.
There's no, you can't do shit.
If you get married at 30 something, you might be like, I'm really good. Like, I'm really, really good.
Yeah.
On this shit right here. You good? We good? Let's get the baby. Let's go. And I knew something was bubbling because when they put their Christmas card out, that shit said Merry Christmas instead of Happy Christmas. And I was like, oh, Harry is like, fuck this shit. Because, you know, the Brits don't say Merry Christmas.
So they don't.
They say Happy Christmas.
Oh, I didn't know that. I never knew that.
Yeah, they say Happy Christmas. I was like, oh, they done gone full, like, they were sitting on the floor by the tree, the baby's crawling. Like, that was their Christmas card.
Okay.
I was like, they chilling. I'm happy for them. So, Christiana Mbakwe, friend to the show, our former international correspondent, says that we should not be even celebrating Harry and Meghan leaving because it's fucked up. Like, the whole point of marrying into royalty is that you never have to work again in your life, and Meghan shouldn't be in a position to leave in the first place. And I understand that. But I think we're celebrating them actually, like, taking the choice taking some control back of the situation, right? It's a horrible situation for Megan. It's fucked up. But the fact that they're like, we're not going to stay in this and be miserable. Instead, we're going to go carve our own path. I do think there's something worth us celebrating in that.
So, I'd love to ask her, like, but I know she's, you know, we have a baby, so I won't. So, but, like, what is her stance on this whole thing and just in general?
I mean, her thing is just that the entire situation itself is horrible. The fact that, you know, even when Megan was able to actually, quote unquote, get the prince, you know, Sarah Ferguson has been through every scandal in the fucking world and she still doesn't ever have to work again. Yeah. Prince Andrew's ex-wife. You know what I mean?
She
went through all kind of shit. She doesn't do shit. Her kids
nothing.
Don't do shit.
Nada.
And, right. So Christiana was like, the fact that Megan has to go, you know, continue to carve a life for herself is fucked up. Mm. And I get that take. So her thing is like, we should be outraged, period. I'm outraged, but I'm still also happy for them for taking their shit back. But I think that's also a very American thing. Like, she's British. I just don't have the same buy-in to the crown.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Period. That's, so
yeah,
I think her point of view as a British person is also different because the monarchy to us is still kind of mythological. We still don't even really understand it. We'd be like, what's their last name for real? Is it Windsor?
Yeah,
is it fucking, you know what I mean? Like, what, you know, so I think it's still, we don't really understand the intricacies of it either.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah? I agree.
I don't understand the intricacies of that movie. I've been the Duke of this and the mother
the of that. And,
are you a prince, nigga? Do you get to be the king when she die or not, nigga?
You got one of them crowns and shit with the jewels in it, nigga? What you got?
You got a real crown, nigga? What's that, nigga?
Let me see that shit. Oh, that shit crazy. Nigga, that shit crazy. Oh,
that shit fire.
Yo, let me put it off the ground. Let me put it off the ground. Oh, shit. Oh man! All right, I think that's it, man. Is there anything else you want to talk about?
No, since we're at the top of the year, I just want to say shout out to the absolute scam that is trying to cancel a gym membership.
Oh my god!
That shit. I was complaining about it today, and the number of stories everybody told me because most of these gyms have this thing where you have to go in person. Like you can sign up online, but if you want to cancel, you have to go in person to your home gym. Talk to a manager, cancel your shit. And obviously it's a sales tactic, so they can either try to retain you or upsell you or to do something else. And the hope is that you'll get so frustrated with the complication of it, you'll just
say, fuck it.
You giving them free money forever, which I've been doing because the two times I actually did pop into my gym in the evening, a manager wasn't there.
What gym you go to?
New York Sports Club.
Okay.
But it's like my home gym is the one on 80th and... Sorry, there's some background noise.
Or 80th and Broadway?
Is the one on 80th and Broadway because on the way home from work, I used to stop at Fairway, you know, do some other shit. But, like, it's on the one. The one train hasn't even been running from my house for a year.
Yeah. It just started back up again. It fixed it, but it just started back up.
Yeah, it just started back up again. So the one train hasn't been running from my house. I work from home. The closest one to me is 145th and 8th, which isn't far, but it's not really close either because it's of me. So it's like I and my trainer is a former New York Sports Club trainer, but he left on bad terms, so he won't train out of there. So it's like it doesn't make sense. Like I just been giving them money.
So the money just coming out your account every month.
Just coming out my account every month. It's like what the fuck for no fucking reason.
Let me get that.
Yeah, let me get that. And I'm paying a trainer and I got a spin bike in my house. You know, so I was like, why am I paying y'all? And I've been trying to cancel. So by some miraculous whatever, they hit me this month like, yo, we weren't able to process your payment. Now, I didn't change anything.
So you now have a new debit card or something like that?
I didn't change shit. Nothing expired. Funds in my account. Everything. I don't know what they did. But I was like, oh, that was Jesus reminding me to stop giving y'all money every month. But they are taking me through all kinds of hassles. So even if I send a certified letter in.
Oh, my God.
They don't cancel your membership until 45 days after they receive your certified letter. Right? So that's a guaranteed 2 more months.
Yeah.
Money.
Especially when, so another little hustle they do is they bill you in the middle of the month.
Yep.
Right.
So that's really a tactic. Now the gym that I go to, they bill you at the top of the month, but it's a, you don't really have that problem. Like I've actually been able to suspend my account. I go to Lifetime.
Okay.
You used to be able to suspend it online, but now even to or what they call a membership freeze, where you pay like $10 a month.
Yeah. Week.
But now even for that, you have to go in person and send a letter. I'm like, how do you make it less? How do you make shit less convenient over time when everything else in the world?
Because
they don't want you to cancel.
Yes. They want all of the money. Like, there's a reason why gyms are able to offer $10 memberships, right? Because right. the goal is, and their thinking is that everyone that's a member is not going to come to this gym. Absolutely. And we want to keep it that way, right? Yep. Like, we have a set number that we think are going to come here. You know what I'm saying? Listen, it's like that in every – in my cigar shop.
Yeah. Oh, okay? Yeah.
If everybody that's actually a member and has a locker came to the cigar shop on the same damn day at the same damn flooded. Time – you couldn't fit everybody. It'd be a fucking fire hazard.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's how I was when – I mean, I've been through that with the gym. Fortunately, Blink – I canceled Blink one time. I re-got it because it's so close to my crib. But they weren't really that bad. They weren't that bad. And then when I canceled the 24/7 fitness, that was easy. They was just like, all right, bet. I was like, oh, shit, that's it. But yeah, New York Sports Club is definitely not easy at all.
And like, y'all ain't – $20 a month, like motherfucker.
No, yeah, yes, it could be it's pricey.
Like my shit is $80 a month.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, I'm gonna need that.
Yeah, no. Yeah, absolutely. No, yeah,
nah, bro. Nah, bro. I need to come up off that.
I need that 80.
I need that. Speed that, because I need that, nigga.
Who else is like that same shit as obviously cable companies and the phone?
The
Oh, nigga, cable companies now. Yo, the new hustle is with DirecTV is basically anytime you get an upgrade, they lock
they renew
you
your
in
contract.
For 24 months.
2 years.
Wow.
2 years, my nigga. Like 2 years. Now, I've never had an issue with DirecTV. It's actually been wildly convenient for me because we have places, we have, you know, other homes, right? So
you can use it anywhere.
I can add my box in LA to my account or whatever the case may be, or in Atlanta. And so it's been a help. But like, dude, like a 24-month commitment.
That's a lot.
Or that's a like
in 2000
years ago.
If you pay in, you know, $150-$200 a month for 2 years. That's a lot, bro.
Nigga. No. Nigga.
When not to go on tangent, but I'll just share this last thing. When my father died, my father had a DirecTV account. These niggas would not let me cancel the account because my name wasn't on the account. And I was like, do you understand?
He gone.
The man is dead. Like,
the man going to glory.
And they were like, well, you don't have the password to the account. I was like, he's dead. Like, when I tell you, I cussed out like 8 different people in DirecTV. I was furious, and it was like a $60 bill. And they were like, well, you gotta change the account into your name. And I was like, yo, turn the shit. Like, I could not understand how you harass somebody who people died.
See, yeah.
Yeah, like, I'm not gonna lie about my father being dead over a fucking $60 a month. Are you kidding me?
You better than me, because they tried that shit with my mom. I said, all right, well, nigga, then you get it from her then. Let's see how that work out.
Good luck with that. All right. On that note, we're gonna check on out of here.
All right, later, y'all.
We'll see y'all next week.
And that's what's popping in the world of entertainment. Thank you for listening to the Pop Life Podcast with Jeffrey, Naima, and Sean. Want to be a part of the show? We've got 3 ways you can get involved. Like us on Facebook. Send us your burning questions to poplifepodcast@gmail.com.